Welcome to Supply Chain Now, the voice of global supply chain. Supply Chain Now focuses on the best in the business for our worldwide audience, the people, the technologies, the best practices, and today's critical issues, the challenges and opportunities. Stay tuned to hear from those making global business happen right here on Supply Chain Now.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Scott Luton and Mary-Kate Love with you here on Supply Chain. Now, welcome to today's live stream. Mary-Kate, how you doing today?
Doing great, doing great. Great to be back here in the co-host seat.
Great to have you back, and especially for this conversation.
Yeah.
You know, Mary-Kate, one of life's universal truths is the grass ain't always greener on the other side of the fence, right? Yeah. And that applies in the world of supply chain technology as well. So today we've got a very unique conversation that features the story of a dynamic organization that left their TMS provider, right? Switched to an alternative tech platform, but later came back. So what did they learn? What did it cost? What should you know? Mm-hmm. Stay tuned to find out on the same bat channel. That's what that series of questions seem like. Great show teed up here today, right?
Yeah, we were just saying before we joined that I don't think we've ever had a conversation on the show just like this. So really unique, you know, as an industry practitioner, these are the types of stories I want to hear, right? And get into the details, learn what works, what doesn't work. So this one will be super fun.
Agreed. And folks, a couple of two final reminders before we get started here today. First off, hey, let us know what you think. Share your comments throughout this live discussion like Kendall did here. Hello from Dallas via LinkedIn. Kendall Scott says, great to have you here, Kendall. Let us know. So when you chime in like Kendall did, let us know where you're from and let us know what you think of the conversation. Weigh in. And secondly, if you enjoy today's show, be sure to share it with a friend or your network. They'll be glad you did. Okay, Mary-Kate, you ready to bring in our two rock and roll stars here today?
Yeah, let's bring them in.
Let's get to work. Welcome in our featured guest. Up first, Cody Graham, founder and president at Neon Logistics, and backed by popular demand, Anthony Ceratelli, senior director of customer success with Turbo. Hey, Anthony, welcome back. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me back. How are you?
Wonderful. And you're bringing any friend of Anthony Ceratelli's, Mary-Kate, is a friend of ours. Cody Graham, how you doing? Looking like $1 million. How you doing, Cody?
Doing great. Happy to be here and share our story.
Great to see you. Mary-Kate, we've enjoyed these pre-show conversations, haven't we?
Yeah. Again, really excited for this one.
So, and a lot of folks are. We got Aaron. Let's see. Aaron, let me know. I'm trying to decipher.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
You got DF Dub.
Dallas Fort Worth. Yes. Okay, Aaron, I'm with you. I'm with you. Great to see you here via LinkedIn. Caroline from Houston. Great to see you here as well. Iulia from Dallas as well. Great to see you. And finally, Maria from Madrid, Spain via LinkedIn. Great to see you. Welcome, everybody. We've got a great story teed up. So let's start with a fun warm-up question, Anthony, Cody, and Mary-Kate, because 'tis the season. The final four has been set in both the men's and the women's NCAA tournaments. And I want to ask each of y'all to pick your winner. Right. And so just to refresh your memory and folks out there from Aaron, Maria, Olia, Caroline, y'all let us know who you're picking too. So on the men's side, you got UConn, Bama, NC State, and Purdue. On the women's side, you got South Carolina, NC State, Iowa, and UConn. Cody, you're the newcomer here at Supply Chain Now. Give us your winners on both.
Yeah, I think on the women's side, you got to go with Iowa. It's too good of a story. And then on the men's side, one of our guys here internally, a big Tennessee fan, so was able to take them down. I'm gonna have to go with them to win it all.
Okay, all right, Anthony, boldly pick your two winners.
On the men's side, I'm gonna go UConn just because I'm a realist and they're beating everybody by like 150 points, and I don't see them losing. Even though my boss is an Alabama fan and he'll probably but. On the women's side, I'm going with Caitlin Clark in Iowa. Just the story's too good. She took about 100 shots last night, and I would have airballed all of them, but they've been fun to watch.
She made about 98 of the 100. Tell you what, it was awesome to watch. All right, Mary-Kate, who's your winners?
I'm going to keep it in the Midwest for both of my winners, and I'm going to do Iowa for the women's. Obviously, I'm aligned with these two here about just the Caitlin Clark effect being super fun to watch. And then I'm going to pick Purdue just because I like a good Midwest winning for both leagues, okay. Right?
Okay. I'll go with that. Great selections for all three of y'all. I'm going to go Purdue on the men's side, much like you, Mary-Kate. And I'm going to be the oddball. I'm going to go with South Carolina on the women's side. That they have building an incredible story, and just they're all talented, right? But man, the winning culture at South Carolina is what brings home trophies oftentimes. So we'll see. I know that's a favorite, folks, but safe pick, I guess. We'll see. All right, Mary-Kate, Cody, Anthony, looking forward to a great conversation. Really quick, Amanda is picking, UConn for men and Iowa for the women. So Iowa is just about consensus here. All right, we got a great story to get into. Let's offer up some context first, Cody, Anthony, Mary-Kate. So Cody, welcome here. Tell us about Neon Logistics and the cool things you are doing there.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been around for about 7 years. We're based out of Scottsdale, Arizona. We're your typical non-asset third-party logistics company. What's different about us is we really view ourselves as a communication company. We view communication as our big differentiator, so we're huge on transparency and honesty.
Oh, I love companies that not only make it about communication, especially in supply chain, but they embrace that and they communicate that that's who they are, Mary-Kate, as an organization, as a team, because that's communication is invaluable when it comes to global supply chain and business. Your thoughts, Mary-Kate?
Yeah, I can see why in logistics, especially, right? Communication being number one and building that trust with your customers is really relied on the communication you have. So I love that as being your motto.
Yes. And I'm so glad you went to trust, because communication is certainly one of those undeniable trust builders out in industry. Anthony, welcome back. We've enjoyed a couple of appearances here. I enjoyed our NFL football chat last time, and including all the business chat we had as well. But tell us, for the three people out there that may not know, tell us about Turbo.
Sure. So Turbo is the logistics and supply chain collaboration platform, bringing brokers, shippers, carriers, various trading partners in the industry together to deliver actionable visibility across the full supply ecosystem, all the way from appointment scheduling to warehouse and order inventory management and shipment execution. Shipment execution is where our PMS lives, and I'm really excited to dig into that today. You guys know that I love talking about the customer story, and we've got a good one here today.
We sure do. And Mary-Kate, you and I both were talking about the transparency that having a story like this requires. So big thanks to Anthony and the Turbo team for being willing to go there, right? Because just like communication, we're talking about transparency also fuels trust, right? And trust is how we move mountains for sure. All right. So folks, let me recap this story you're about to hear, right? So Neon Logistics, as we were talking on the front end, they partnered on a TMS implementation and deployment with Turbo a while back. And then, just like we were talking about a second ago, the grass did look greener on the other side. So Neon bolted to a competitor. But then Cody and the team saw the light, just like our friends Brooks and Dunn back in the day, made their way back home to Turbo. And this journey is the heart of what we're going to be talking about here today, offering up tons, I promise, of actionable takeaways for our audience. So with that as a backdrop, kind of the story in a nutshell, Cody, why didn't you renew, you and the team at Neon Logistics, renew with Turbo initially? And what made you switch to a different TMS?
Yeah, I mean, anybody that knows me knows that I have crazy high expectations of freight tech. And so, I kind of had this, I guess, dream that some TMS could, potentially solve all of our problems. And I got caught up in that dream, even though, Ryan Schreiber at Metafora tried to tell me, maybe TMS change before we switched from Turbo wasn't necessarily what we needed. So I just, like we said, the title of the thing, grass is always greener. And so that and really focus on the back office pieces with what I do compared to the front office of what most of our team does.
Yeah. So Anthony, as you heard Cody talk about that, of some of the factors that led to the initial decision to leave the Turbo family and put a couple toes in on the other side of the fence. What comes to your mind?
Well, I've been with Turbo now for almost 4 years, and I've been working with Cody since the day that I started. And I'm just a customer guy to my core, right? And the days, just the reality of where you're at in your role, you got to have tough conversations sometimes. But these are like the worst days in your life when you're a customer guy. You get that gut punch from one of your favorite customers saying, hey, I'm going a different direction. But I knew that I needed to stay close to Cody because I know we're the right TMS. The company's growing. You're off. You have so many pieces in place, but like, why are you leaving me now? So we stayed close and we'll talk some more about the specifics, but I just felt like we had the right system for him. We just weren't clicking yet.
You know, Mary Kate, I bet every single person watching or listening to this conversation has had one of those gut punch days. Yeah. And I will tell you from my experience, whether from some of the big Fortune 500 companies I've worked with or in startup world, those days are not that they all stink, but feedback is a blessing, right? Yeah. And it gives us an opportunity to really get real and get better. Right. Yeah. Mary Kate, your thoughts here on the gut punch and what Anthony and Cody have shared already.
Well, I just love what Anthony highlighted about staying close to Cody, because when you create these relationships, even if there is an event like this, or you take the gut punch, it doesn't ruin the relationship, right? If you have solid ground prior to it. So that is super important to keep that relationship, those conversations up, because you never know what's going to happen, what new opportunity will come down the line. And obviously that ended up working out here, right?
Yes. Yes. And that's a great call out. The relationship, right? Decisions got to be made. And sometimes you can't, they don't always break in your favor, even though you might love the people that the business doesn't go to. But the power of the relationship here, Anthony, and how being the customer leader that you are, you never gave up. You know, you kept building that relationship because you knew maybe around the corner, the time would come again. And that's what we're going to be talking about in a second. Cody, you're nodding your head a lot. My hunch is you're as much as you are a, how'd you put it? You have world-class demands for freight tech or supply chain tech, but I also believe, I bet you're a big relationship believer as well, huh?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Anytime you're a communication company or really a company in logistics, you have to be huge about relationships. So especially a company our size. So that's a huge part of what we do and what we value. And yeah, it was great. You know, that call that Anthony had with me, I haven't shared this with him, but you know, whenever I need that call, you know, and this is right after we went live with the other team. It's, I think the day we went live, he's like, you know, I don't know if that's the right move in terms of making a differentiation, you know, with your tech strategy. Mm-hmm. That always kind of stuck with me because I was like, man, he's kind of right there. So that was always playing in the back of my mind. So.
Cody, I love it. Anthony's going to be an advisor to the end and then some. It's kind of what I'm hearing there, right? I love it. And I hope I'm saying this name right. Alu, how would you pronounce that, Mary Kate?
Julia.
What's that,
Anthony? I'm not sure.
Julia.
Okay. My apologies.
That's Julia. A funny name. I like that name.
It is. And as she says here, sometimes you have to roam to appreciate what's at home. How about that word, Smith? Thrilled to have Neon Logistics back. That reminds me of the B-52's song from way back in the 90s, Rome. All right, so Cody, Anthony, I got no shortage of Gen X references,
that's
Anthony.
Two musical references thus far.
I got a couple more coming, Cody, Anthony, and Mary Kate. All right, so let's get into kind of what happened. Well, you know, where did the TMS that you went to, without naming names, of course, right, that TMS that you chose to go to, I understand in our pregame conversations, it fell short of your needs, Cody, and that's a high bar, as we have established, Cody. Tell us how, what that impact was and the impact it had both on your business and your customers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as like what happened, so like the back office, you know, pieces that I was focused on really worked out great. But what we found out was the freight management functions, you know, caused a lot of service issues for us. Things that we hadn't seen before that we were really kind of caught off guard with, you know, and a lot of that related around visibility and communication. So, you know, Turbo's got a really unique UI. It's got a really good instant messenger feature built into it. It's got notifications that alert you whenever anything happens or potentially might happen on your shipment. and it's got tracking links to give visibility to our customers. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a lot of Gen Z employees, a lot of younger workforce, and we had grown more accustomed to those unique features than we had anticipated through the evaluation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it caused a big impact on the business.
Yeah, it really sounds like it. Your team couldn't get stuff done nearly as easily as they could with Turbo. It's kind of one of the things I heard there, Cody. Mm-hmm. So the ease, there was more friction in getting things done. And then it sounded like just the bottom line returns also were impacted by the move.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as far as impact, you know, the transition just in general was a bigger lift than I ever anticipated, you know, in terms of time, resources, from everybody on the exec team throughout the whole organization. It was very immense. You know, we had a cultural impact because of it, because we switched to this different TMS, and the people, you know, our people learned that they really love Turbo after we switched to the new TMS. So
wow.
That was the deal. And then, you know, through service issues comes lost business. And so I would say, you know, if I had to put a number on it, all in all, the switch cost is probably $1 million in total costs. And so and I would definitely chalk it up as our biggest mistake of 2023. So, and eat crow, but, you know, we like to fail as fast as we possibly can with logistics and own our mistakes, just like we do with our customers and everybody inside the organization. So, yeah.
Okay. So, Anthony, before I get you to weigh in on that, goodness gracious, Mary Kate, picking out different layers of that impact that Cody just shared, what's the biggest one in your mind?
Hard to pick one because there's a few that I loved, but kind of back in the beginning, when Cody was talking about some of the features that Turbo really provided them, it seemed like, you know, Turbo is really providing this seamless communication, and that is extremely important to you all at Neon Logistics. And so, you know, maybe this exercise is bringing you back to your original values, which you love to see a partner almost recognize your values better than yourself sometimes, right? When you have the right partners, they're really able to do that for you. So I like to see that all kind of come back together. But I have to call out, I absolutely love that you're talking about your biggest failure, because, you know, in startup world, everyone always says fail fast and fail big, but no one really ever admits their failures. So this is a great conversation where we're not just saying fail and fail fast, right? You're actually sharing what you guys went through to do that. So I love that.
Excellent points there, Mary Kate. And, you know, Anthony and Cody and Mary Kate, we're going to talk more about the reunited component of the story here. Anthony, when you think about what Cody was sharing about kind of how the alternative platform just didn't work on the business side and that impact it had, I bet you hear these stories a lot, Anthony, is my hunch.
We do. You know, thankfully, we don't hear customers leaving Turbo all that often, but we do. And that's why this is a fun conversation, right? This is transparent. It's raw. It's real. We're talking about some of our failures. And certainly on the Turbo side, we learned some things through this journey as well. But, you know, being transparent, being collaborative, being communicative is really kind of the ethos of Turbo as a platform. And when I talk about that gut feeling that I had that Neon and Cody were going the wrong direction, it goes back to what Cody said at the start of this discussion, where Neon really is a communication company.
Right.
And that is really the underlying aspect when we talk about collaboration, visibility, all the tools that Turbo has. It's all about streamlining communication.
Yes. And it's fair to say that all technologies out there, whether we're talking TMSs or other technologies involved in global supply chain, they don't make it equally as easy to communicate internally or externally. And I think that's for a communication company like Neon Logistics, that is how they go to market. That is how they operate day in and day out. You've got to have a platform that enables that and empowers that and makes it happen day in and day out with as little friction as possible. Cody, is that a fair, before we go into the next chapter, is that all that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. You guys.
Okay.
Yeah. And Scott, you said something important there, and I want to get Cody's double click on this, but you said internally and externally. And we talk a lot about the external collaboration that Turbo's platform can bring to a growing 3PL like Neon. But I think, Cody, you maybe Is it fair to say that you underestimated how important the collaboration inside the four walls of Neon really was?
100%. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, before we were on this call, everybody's talking about Slack here, this, that, and everything. And so, you know, whenever we evaluated, we saw that that was a possible gap. And we're like, well, everybody uses Slack. We can just use Slack, right, for our internal communication on freight. And what's unique about Turbo and, you know, some of our employees were very vehement about this through the evaluation process, and I unfortunately didn't listen, was, you know, it allows you to communicate within each internal load, the instant messenger. And so it really allows everybody to conceptualize what you're talking about, and things don't get lost in the thread or the replies to thread, because now I understand a lot about Slack more than I did before. So yeah, it's so unique, and you won't see that, you know, on the market anywhere else. And so, and that was, again, part of the evaluation process. We're like, well, Turbo's the only one with this. Everybody else is doing this without Turbo. We should be able to do it. And we found that, once you have a cool tool like that, it's really hard to go backwards.
Ooh, Anthony, I bet that it's music to your ears. But before you respond, Mary Kate, you have been around technology, a part of technology implementation. You know, that's inseparable from who Mary Kate Love is.
Yes.
What do you hear in here? Beyond the level of ownership, which, Cody, the level of ownership here, I think, is just refreshing, and it's a breath of fresh air. Let me just say that. But Mary Kate, from kind of from the UI to different bells and whistles to the impact inside and outside the four walls, what else sticks out to you here, Mary Kate?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, number one, whenever we use the word implementation, I kind of like tense up, because it is so hard, right? And it's something to go through. But I really like this idea of the internal collaboration being, you know, something that really was a differentiator for Neon, and having Turbo as that solution for that maybe wasn't, you know, the first reason that you all partnered together, but kind of continuing with that and leaning into that seems like it, you know, really produced the best outcome for your internal team, which is equally as important, or maybe even more important, right, than collaborating outside your four walls. So I love the highlight on the internal collaboration and how important that is.
Well said. And your quick response to all of that, Anthony, before we move forward to the reunited chapter of the story.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to learn through this whole situation. Mary Kate, you talked about implementation, and I think it's interesting that Neon was really implemented before I even came to Turbo. Everything was out of the box. Everything was stood up. And I think both Cody and I and Turbo and Neon really learned a lot about the importance of mapping out that post-implementation journey. And that's why at Turbo, we have such a focus on customer success being a full life cycle part of what you get when you work with Turbo, because it doesn't just end when you take everything out of the box.
Right.
That's right. We've talked about Turbo University at length on a variety of past shows, Anthony, about that ongoing, not even just aftercare, but that ongoing care, which I think is a big appeal to how y'all do business. Okay, a couple quick comments here. Ulia says, hey, Cody, good call out on the user interface that appeals to the younger workforce. Nobody wants to work with a clunky TMS. Ulia, I agree with you. I would take it one step further. No one likes to work with clunky tech in general, right? And then Timothy says, hey, now, I happen to like AS400 green screens. Said no one ever. I love that, Timothy. All right. So, Cody, moving right along here. So then after the experience going to the alternative platform and all the things we've talked about, right, that made it tough on the team and tough on the impact and all, but then you were homeward bound, just like our friends Simon and Garfunkel, just for you, Anthony, as you chose to reunite with the Turbo team, right? Mm-hmm. So, Cody, probably some of your answer will be a little bit on what we touched on already, and that's okay, just to reiterate, though, because these are important takeaways. But what made you come back to Turbo beyond maybe what we've talked about, and what were some of the most critical lessons that you learned?
Yeah, I mean, really, we've talked about it in terms of the main thing was feedback from our team members. And on top of that, feedback from our customers, right? A lot of things aligned with the timeline of us switching to from Turbo. And so that's really really what drove it. We put everybody into a room, the whole entire company, and we were just like, what is going on, guys? And it came to be that there was just those things that we had relied on through Turbo that weren't obviously in the other system, that it seemed like it was going to be, you know, a barrier we weren't going to be able to get past. So that's really what helped drive it. That, in addition, you know, Anthony, you know, staying in touch with us, and Luis staying in touch with us, and them taking some ownership to, you know, kind of that piece that Anthony said as far as, you know, the implementation, because we were implemented a long time ago before both Luis and Anthony were there. And so, yeah. So those are all the things that really contributed. And as far as lessons learned,
yeah,
you know, I kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but when we did the evaluation, we, you know, communication's our number one thing.
Right.
And in my mind, whenever that was kind of raised in the evaluation process, that, hey, you know, using Slack instead of this instant messenger might be difficult, I was like, you know, that's our deal, man. Our people are good at communicating. That's our number one thing. So we could overcome that. Mm-hmm. So thinking that, you know, that could happen, you know, that you could overcome tech inefficiencies through, you know, your differentiated outcome was really an oversight on my part. And then on top of that, you know, through the re-implementation of Turbo, we've learned that just working inside the confines of the TMS as it's designed really elicits the most value add for the user and the customer as well. So that's been a big thing, because, you know, we're kind of two TMSs in 1 year. We've done a lot of implementation. Yeah. And then lastly, you know, since we started with Turbo, you know, in 2020, staying up to date with the technology pieces that you're using, regardless, Turbo's really evolved a lot more than I had stayed in touch with, you know, and so that was something that was kind of a big aha moment for us as we switched back.
Yeah, love that. It's living and breathing, the platform is. And I love also that you mentioned it's important to lean into all the ways that we can use tech to further, like, deploy our culture, right? Mm-hmm. And then when we remove said tech, and humans have to embrace more manual, good extra mile with manually communicating stuff, I mean, it changes the game. It changes the workday, right? And also, I would argue, Cody, and I'm not talking just about Neon logistics, but kind of broader. You know, when we choose not to automate some of the manual blocking and tackling, we also choose to take some time away from our team's day, right? And so mm-hmm. they can't spend nearly as much time delighting customers, right? Fulfilling that we are a communication company promise you've made to the market, Cody. So I really love both the focused lessons that we're learning here, but also the broader lessons. Anthony, if you had to pick out, I mean, when you hear this, you know, compare and contrast this with what else you hear out there, and how cool was that day? I'm assuming Cody picked up the phone, had Anthony Ceritelli on speed dial. How cool was that conversation, Anthony? And what else did you hear here?
You know, it wasn't like it was just one day I get a call from Cody and he was like, hey, I'm coming home. It was, we talked a lot over the course of the year that they were away. And I kind of just had a feeling that it wasn't an if, but a when. The most exciting thing to me about this whole story is there's a renewed sense of commitment to a strategy to be successful. And that's not a Neon thing or a Turbo thing. It has to be hand in hand. And I think that's what we were missing the first go around. And I alluded to some of the lessons that we took on our side, but you really, really do have to have a strategy that involves both the right people and the right objectives to be successful with technology, especially in the space that we're in, because it's challenging. And Neon's come back with this renewed sense of, we're really going to lean in to everything that Turbo has in the box, and we're going to be successful with it.
Man, I love that. That is that two-way street, Mary Kate. That's how you can optimize more of what you've invested in, whether it's technology or plenty of other solutions, right? When you're not just mailing it in, but to use Anthony's phraseology, you're leaning in.
Right.
Man, what else are we missing? What else are we missing to impact our organization, top line, bottom line, and of course the team, which is equally as important as anything else. Mary Kate, what'd you hear there from Cody and Anthony?
Yeah, I like this idea of kind of the silver lining being, you know, there are a lot of silver linings, but one of them being this refresh, right? And how you all work together and what the technology could actually do for Neon. You know, I think it's easy to get complacent when you're using specific technology. I mean, I even think about, you know, stupid example, but my phone. Every couple of years when I get a new phone, I clean it out. I look up the new features. I kind of refresh how I'm using my phone. Again, small example, but I like this idea of coming back together with a renewal and a refresh and how you all partner together for the best results. And, you know, definitely a silver lining of everything you all had to go through, but very unique to have that opportunity, I think.
Yes. Well said. And I like that. That phone example relates to just about everybody. So I love that one, right? Because some folks out there maybe just now getting into their first experience with a TMS, right?
Yeah.
So Cody, one thing that I can't, after you said this a minute ago, I had to surreptitiously put my socks back on because you blew them off. $1 million, Cody, yeah. $1 million. So I know I really appreciate your perspective on the selection process and how reflective you've been. And of course, how you're team centered as much as you are communication centered. All of that is really important, but $1 million, Cody.
Yeah. It's difficult. Very difficult to swallow. And, you know, that's a combination of time, you know, additional vendors that we had to sign on with the other TMS that we're locked into contracts now, that a lot of the things that Turbo does, you know, all in one, as well as, you know, lost revenue from customers. So it's very difficult. It's not a stretch of a number by any means. You know, some of those, you know, decisions that we made that caused conflict will continue to have costs that impact us every day, but we're going to do all we can, you know, now that we're back on Turbo to get those clients back, as well as, you know, right all the wrongs we did, and can't get the time back though. That's one.
Well, but I tell you, Cody, I'm still stunned. And, you know, Mary Kate, and of course, Catherine and Amanda are behind the scenes. Appreciate what y'all did to help make production happen. But the same Cody, Anthony, we see here kind of in front of the camera is the same Cody you see behind the scenes. And I love how reflective and just how much ownership you take. And, you know, and hey, we all make mistakes. We learn from them. Some are more costly than others. But it seems like here, both sides of the table, so to speak, the whole partnership, it's going to get better from this story and experience. Would y'all agree?
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Outstanding. I'm going to get one more quick bonus question in. And Mary Kate, I'd love to get your take as many technology implementations and selection processes you've gone through. I want to get one more quick bonus question in about y'all's one aspect of the story here. It seems like we live and breathe in constant technology selection mode these days, right? Whether it's TMS or plenty of other stuff. Cody, you touched on something I think really important. And I think it's a good piece of advice for our listening or viewing audience out there. And that is be really careful because so many folks will get their good old spreadsheet. They'll break down their little matrix and stack up the features right side by side. But it really isn't. I hate to use this, but it's the first phrase that comes to mind. It's not apples to apples. And we got to be much more holistic about how we view and select technologies. Cody, is all that accurate? And is there any one final point you want to put on it here related to this experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what we try to do is put numbers on everything. And there's just some things that you can't put a number on, right? And so, you know, we try to do everything the 100% right way. And we're very thorough with the evaluation and we still missed. So there's just some things that you just got to kind of reflect inwardly and go with your gut in a lot of ways. You know, my big thing with technology is demo the software and not just do the demo version, but fully demo the software for an extended period of time. What's so difficult in TMS is we have so many different integrations between RMIS, our carrier compliance, everything like that, that's difficult to do.
Right.
But I would advise people to go through whatever it takes to do that, because if you do miss on something like this, it's very costly and the time too, the headache with it. On top of that, it'll make your implementation go 10 times better. If you have one test group of users and you don't fully commit to it until you get proof of concept with how your team operates, because anybody can say, hey, we do this, hey, we do that. You know, I like to say there's a lot of good salespeople in freight tech, a lot of, and so, and that goes beyond TMS.
Yes, it does.
And with our expectations, we tend to butt heads with a lot of the freight, you know, tech vendors because of that, because we like to hold people as accountable as we hold ourselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what I would advise. That's what I wish we did more.
That's $1 million advice, Cody. I appreciate that. And folks, it's worth the investment of time on the front end as you help to make your decision on what truly technology, TMS or otherwise, is truly a great fit for who you are as an organization, as a culture, as a team, what you're trying to get done. So excellent advice, Cody. Anthony, you've been a part of plenty selection processes, implementations, and of course, great results, right? And stories like this, where you're getting frank feedback, right? And put that into practice and make Turbo even better. I love that about you, Anthony. If you had to pick one thing, one piece of advice for folks out there that want to get better at selecting technology partners in particular, what's one thing you think doesn't get talked about enough?
I think you got to know where you want to take your business. Everybody wants to grow, right? But what does that look like to you? What does success look like to you? And, you know, Cody, you touched on being thorough in demos and really understanding the feature sets. And roadmap is important, but you really got to vet out your potential vendors as partners, because you do it right, it's not going to be a year thing. It's not going to be a 2-year thing. It's not transactional. You really do want to find a partner, especially in the TMS space, because your TMS is the backbone of your operations.
Yep. And you're going to have good days and bad days. You want to vet the partner that's going to be the right partner through it all, right? As much as Mary-Kate, as much as we in the global supply chain would love to eliminate every single stinking surprise, it's just not possible right now. Right. And so you got to lean on partners that are going to be there with you on those tougher days, as well as the days where you're sky high and celebrating the mountains you've moved. Your thoughts, Mary-Kate, about selection or anything that Cody and Anthony said there before we put on our shades and get a sneak peek of what's to come?
Yeah, I just love this idea of picking the right partner that aligns with your values and, you know, not seeing it as like, hey, this is just a piece of technology we have to integrate, you know, in order to do business. If you truly look at it as a partnership, like these two have and do, right? Your partners are able to see things that you can't see. They're maybe providing things for your internal team that you didn't even know they could provide. So I just love the ideas of partners who are able to see things in your business that you're just not able to on your own.
Yeah, well said, Mary-Kate. And Kimber, I completely agree with you. She says, Cody, your transparency and accountability is refreshing.
It is, yeah.
Kimber, thank you for calling that out, and great to have you here. Let us know where you're tuned in from. You're like a breath of fresh air, Cody. I mean it. A lot of executives, a lot of founders would not have the disposition you have. And I would argue that your team and your organization, your partnership here with Anthony and the whole Turbo team, you're gonna go further, faster, quicker because of how you're approaching this part of your journey. So you probably get that a lot, Cody, but I completely agree with Kimber here. Okay. Speaking of what's to come, I don't have any shades handy, but I bet it's a pretty bright future for Neon Logistics. And you better, if you're working with Neon, you need some shades handy because they're really bright, just like the organization's future. So Cody, what are you most excited about for Neon Logistics for the rest of this year and beyond?
Yeah, well, the first thing I'm excited about is to be done with TMS transition. And then the second thing, you know, we're looking forward to using Turbo to really double down on our strengths and continue to grow. So we're really excited for what the market looks like it's starting to do, and really excited to get past this COVID correction and be able to move forward and continue to grow.
Grow, innovate, communicate, solve problems proactively, and in some cases reactively. That's the nature of the business we're in. But Cody, I really appreciate it. And no telling how this experience will continue to pay it forward, both with Turbo, but also as the lessons the whole team learned through this experience and how they can apply that to other situations and opportunities that you have at Neon Logistics. Thanks so much for being here and sharing it. Anthony, I'll tell you, we've had a series of these conversations here. Really enjoy them. A lot of them are very unique. This is the most part unique conversation. I think we were talking about that in pre-show that I've been a part of here in our collaboration. So Anthony, keep bringing us great stories like this and great leaders like Cody. But what lies ahead for for the Turbo team that's on the move. What's one of your favorite parts about what you do, Anthony?
So my role is uniquely positioned to work really well for me. I'm a people person to my core, and I'm just motivated by growth. And the most rewarding part of my job is just seeing the people and partners around me succeed, whether it's one of the awesome team members that we have, you see something click and they take that next step in growth, or when we have customers like Neon that you see them kind of re-strategize and we get more aligned, and then that catapults their growth. I'm constantly surrounded by businesses, partners, and people who are growing and succeeding. And that is the most fun part of my job.
Oh, I bet. So I'm looking forward to the book that you write at some point soon, Anthony, because I can only imagine you rub elbows with folks like Cody and the team and get these stories, which are like lessons of not just supply chain leadership, but business leadership, technology leadership. So I'm looking forward to that New York Times bestseller.
Well, Anthony, hopefully you know a good editor, because I don't know.
We'll find a ghostwriter, my friend. Mary Kate, when you hear about kind of the path ahead for Cody and Anthony and their respective teams, what comes to your mind here?
Yeah, I think the word that we started off in the beginning and came up a lot is communication. And I love some of the examples that we discussed today about internal communication, right? So Cody talked about that day when the team got together to say like, hey, this new TMS isn't working. You know, here's the reasons why. And then obviously the communication between these two throughout their partnership has been key to making this a successful tool for Neon to use. So I just love this idea of communication being key internally and externally and with your customers, right? So that is kind of the common thread that kept coming up today.
Yes, excellent point. And you know, leaning into a solution and a technology that allows your hardworking team that's out there every day trying to make it happen for your customers and for each other, you know, leaning into a technology that really makes that communication seamless, frictionless, because especially for a group like Neon Logistics, where communication is their daily currency, it's their promise, yeah. Right? So important to lean into a technology that can deliver on that. No pun intended. T-Squared says continuously regrouping, rebuilding, and reloading is what's being explained here. Great to see you here, T-Squared, who hails from Baltimore, trying to deliver on that nourishment promise, T-Squared, as always. Aaron loved, he says, perspective changes greatly when you focus on what a TMS can do today versus what it can't. Right. Hope is not a very successful strategy, is it, Cody, Anthony, and Mary Kate? And Caroline says, cheers to an incredibly successful 2024 for Neon Logistics. My hunch, Cody, you know, as I demonstrated with my March Madness picks, I do pick winners. And if Neon Logistics was in my final supply chain final four, I'd be picking Cody and the Neon Logistics team. And, well, it'd be a tough matchup because Turbo would be in there as well. So, yeah, definitely. What a great conversation. So Mary-Kate, Cody, Anthony. Couple of quick things as we start to wind down. Mary Kate, we're going to get your final key takeaway. You tried to sneak it in there, but I'm going to get one more from you before we wrap up here. Cody, let's make sure folks can connect with both of y'all. How can folks connect with you and the Neon Logistics team?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, find me on LinkedIn. All my information should be on there, as well as our website, www.neon-logistics.com. Always ready for a good conversation.
It's just that easy. It's just that easy. Check it out. Anthony Ceritelli with Turbo really enjoyed. I tell you, your passion is it. You know, sometimes we go show to show and there's certain elements that, you know, you kind of lose sight of. But Anthony, what's very clear to me is we aren't going to find a more passionate, as you put it, customer guy, right? That believes in both what you do, but the relationship and the partnership that you've built. So I love that element, one of many from the story here today. So Anthony, how can other folks reach out and build similar relationships with you and the Turbo team?
Well, thank you, Scott, for the kind words, and thanks for having us back. As always, this is a great time. I'm also on LinkedIn. Look me up on LinkedIn. My email is just aceratelli@turbo.com. We will actually be in Cody's neck of the woods next week at the TIA show. in Phoenix. So make sure to stop by the Turbo booth, get to know the team. Cody, I don't know if you'll be out and about at the show, but maybe you can meet the world's most famous Bradley Cooper lookalike as well.
The Bradley Cooper of global supply chain, right? That's here, right. One Cody Graham. And just let me make sure I'm on the same page. What show was that, Anthony?
The TIA show, Transportation Intermediaries Association.
I should know that. I thought you said initially the Today Show. I thought you were going big.
Someday.
Yeah.
Next week, TIA show. And Cody, are you and your team going to be there as well?
Yes, absolutely. We'll be there. So it's about 20 minutes from us. So yeah,
okay.
Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Outstanding. Well, we have got Mary Kate. Before we get your patented key takeaway, we've got resources from Anthony and the Turbo team, and y'all have to check this out, folks. It is a great resource entitled 5 Ways to Build a Battle-Tested Carrier Network. I like that phrase, battle-tested, because even if you're operating on a world-class level, you got battles day in and day out to do things better, right? So especially if you're 3PLs and freight brokers, check out that resource. And you know that dependable carriers drive trust. We talked about that. And growth for you and your shipper customers. Check out the ebook to learn how you can protect your logistics business from all sorts of threats so you can win all those battles that we face day in and day out. You're one click away. We drop the link right there in the chat. One click away from checking that out from Anthony and the Turbo team. Okay. I would argue, Cody, I think you and your team are pretty battle tested now, would you say?
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's always more you can do, right? But what a great story. And again, I really appreciate you bringing it here today so we can all learn from it. Mary Kate, before we let Anthony and Cody go and we call it a day, really appreciate everyone that joined us here. I know we couldn't get everybody's comments and questions. Y'all reach out to Cody and Anthony for sure. I know they'll enjoy those conversations. Mary Kate, if there's one thing, if folks forget everything else here, all this goodness from Cody and Anthony and their story, what's one thing folks cannot forget from this conversation?
Yeah, kind of in addition to the communication point, this goes hand in hand, but obviously we've all loved this conversation because it's been so honest and it's been so refreshing to talk about, you know, quote unquote failure, right? But that turned out, you know, to end in your favor. And I think that people like to say, like I said earlier, fail fast, you know, you don't know until you try, experiment. But this is a true case of a company and people doing that. And they were only able to do that because they had communication with each other and communication with their partners. So I think that kind of ties it all together about the lessons that we've learned and gone through today. And it's been such an awesome conversation. I hope we get more stories like this in the future, honestly.
I do too. And, you know, as the B-52s did say, roam if you want to, but as this case shows, roam at your own peril, right? So love that y'all shared the whole story here today and how you're acting on it to get better and better at what you do. Big thanks again to Cody Graham with Neon Logistics, Anthony Ceratelli with Turbo. Thanks for being here, gentlemen.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
You bet. Mary Kate, always a pleasure to knock out these conversations with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me too.
But folks, taking something from this conversation and acting on it, that's the name of the game, right? That is the name of the game. Because your team, just like we've talked about, the team wants to deliver every day, right? We got to make it easier for them to do it, right? Make their lives easier and, man, the things they'll do for your customers. So with all that said, on behalf of the entire team here at Supply Chain Now, Scott Luton challenging you, do good, give forward, be the change that's needed. And we'll see you next time right back here at Supply Chain Now. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for being a part of our Supply Chain Now community. Check out all of our programming at supplychainnow.com and make sure you subscribe to Supply Chain Now anywhere you listen to podcasts. And follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. See you next time on Supply Chain Now.